This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Checkpoint Intimates, where two people from the Checkpoint team get intimate about a topic. I am Cameron, and joining me today is Colby. Hi, Colby.
Hello.
And today we're going to be discussing loyalty to consoles. We just talked on the main show about the console wars, and that's something that I think that has been very prevalent.
It's something that everyone has an opinion on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like everyone, yeah. It's been around for as long as I can remember gaming, to be honest. So we're going to talk about the loyalty we've had to certain consoles and how that's developed over the years, because we've been gaming for close to 25 years now.
Oh, yeah, easy. Yeah. Since the early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s is where we both kind of jumped in. What was your first console?
Sega Master System, but it was one of those things where it's like you wanted the Nintendo, but you got the Master System instead.
It's like when you open the parcel and it's like, what's a game station for, Nana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like you want to play Mario, but you end up playing Alex the Kid, but then it turns out to be fine.
Yeah, Alex the Kid was dope. I remember playing that at my cousin's.
And incredibly difficult. The days where you could not save your game. So if you die, you start from the start.
You just lose everything. So my first console was a SNES. My neighbor had a Nintendo, the original Nintendo, and I used to play the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on there, which I thought was amazing, but I've discovered apparently was awful.
Well, you know, things in hindsight, right?
Ooh, big time. So then on Christmas one year, I got the SNES and the whole family got to play Mario Kart together. But then, so did you have any iterations of Sega or...?
Because I randomly got given a Mega Drive from, I think my gran bought it for me. And from there, I just went with Sega till the end of its console.
What was the last Sega console?
It was the Dreamcast.
Was it the one with the very chunky controller?
Yeah, and it had the LCD memory card.
Yeah, okay, I remember that.
You know, because they kind of killed off their last console early to try and get a jump on the PlayStation 2, but it didn't really work out.
Right. See, well, I only had the SNES before my loyalty was out the door, and I jumped ship, and my mum came home one day with a PlayStation for me, and I had Abe's Odyssey and Crash Bandicoot, and the romance began.
Yeah, and, you know, part of that, because Nintendo were really late. Remember, the PlayStation came out about 2 years before the Nintendo 64.
Yep.
So for us growing up, and it was the same in that I probably would have got a Nintendo, but at the time it was Saturn and PlayStation.
Yeah.
So by that point, you get into PlayStation, you start playing your Metal Gear Solid and your Gran Turismo and whatnot, and, you know, your Final Fantasy, and you don't really need anything else.
Well, yeah, and I feel like, because for those that don't know, PlayStation originally started as a Nintendo peripheral.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo CD, I believe.
Yeah, and then Nintendo were like, no, that's not going to work. That, you know, CDs aren't the future of
gaming.
They
got a little bit big for their boots, yeah. I think, in the 90s, and they were like, no, we'll just do this ourselves.
Yep, and so then PlayStation went off with Sony, and they...
Well, the story goes that the head of the PlayStation sort of division in Sony, like the team that was working on it, took it personally, so they kind of made it their mission to... into the video game market, yeah.
Well, thank God they did.
Driven by vengeance.
Well, the best things always come from vengeance, if we're being completely honest. But so I had a PlayStation, and then it stuck. Like, I've just been PlayStation ever since. I've had nothing else until I met my partner, Rowan, about 10 years ago, and he was all Nintendo.
Yeah.
So nothing but Nintendo.
Yeah, the Nintendo crew... very much brand loyal.
Well, it was quite interesting because then we've both had huge influences on each other, and now it's all Nintendo and all PlayStation in our house. We both love both of them. And it was quite interesting, that cross-pollination, if you will, of brand loyalty, because we didn't know anything about the other one before that.
It's like brands bringing people together, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the
only thing we have in common is that Xboxes aren't allowed in the house.
Yeah, and that's fair enough, too.
So you have a PlayStation 4 now, don't you?
Yeah, so, I mean, similar story. So, because my partner, between us, we've got all the consoles.
Mm.
But no real loyalty to any of them. But, you know, as we were saying on the show, I think we decided that the PlayStation's the best one.
Yeah, because I know that everyone voted. There was two Xbox, two PlayStation, and one Switch. But we did have a message in from Kieran, who is a member of Checkpoint, who said PlayStation.
Yeah, which
so we're going to unofficially say here it's PlayStation. Yeah. Hopefully Luke doesn't listen to this whenever he puts it up. But I think it's quite interesting. I actually am probably going to be looking at getting an Xbox soon, but it's purely so that I can do more stuff with Checkpoint on the Xbox, and I don't really have any desire to play any of the games on the Xbox.
Where do you think that your loyalty to PlayStation comes from?
I think it's just, I was a teenager, I came out very early in high school, which made high school not the greatest place. But what I did have was I'd go home and I'd play PlayStation. And so I had a lot of very fond memories of things that I've done with PlayStation. I've never had, to be honest, really negative thoughts about Xbox. It just has never really permeated into my life. I remember at uni, someone had an Xbox and I played one or two things on it, but I was never amazed. And I just have always really sat really well with the kind of the branding and exclusives that PlayStation's always held. Things like Crash Bandicoot, which it eventually would let go, and there'd be all these horrible versions of it across all gaming. Like Tomb Raider started with PlayStation. Final Fantasy for a while moved over to PlayStation exclusively. So PlayStation in the 90s did a really, in like early 2000s,
well, they sort of built names. The bricks, right, for the modern video game world. And they built a lot of the franchises that now are just like pillars of, you know, the game world or of the gaming lineup.
Definitely. It was during that era where I was starting to, it was like early to mid-teens, I wanted to start being treated like an adult, and PlayStation offered a much more adult angle on gaming that you didn't get from Nintendo.
Hmm.
Nintendo still felt like if you're playing it, you felt a little bit like a kid. And my friend had a 64, and I'd go over and I'd play Smash Brothers, and I loved it. But I didn't want it in my house because I was an adult gamer at 13.
Didn't want it in my house.
Yeah. At 13, I was very grown up and I was playing Metal Gear Solid and I was learning about nuclear war. Or so I thought I was. And then I discovered that Kojima.
Hideo has just gone off the deep end and got obsessed with something. And then you end up having like astronauts or whatever posters all through the game and whatnot.
I thought I knew so much about the Cold War because of Metal Gear Solid. I did not know anything. But then, yeah, it just kind of kept going. So then PlayStation 2 came out and that's when the first Xbox appeared against the PlayStation 2. And the PlayStation 2 is still considered up there as one of the best consoles.
I'd agree, if not the best console.
It was so solid.
And it also built the DVD market as well. Rumor has it, in Japan, it was bought primarily to play DVD. It was the cheapest, at the time, DVD player on the market. And if you wanted your parents to buy it for you, it's like you can put it in the lounge. Like, I think it's the first video game system that you could legitimately have next to your TV in the entertainment system in the main room of your house.
It was so compact. It was small. It was very discreet.
It looked great.
Yeah. I got it for Christmas because my sisters had moved overseas. I was all on my own. My mum could see that I was having some trouble with high school again. And so she...
PlayStation to the rescue.
Yeah, PlayStation 2 to the rescue. But what she did is she actually would take the time to learn how to play some of the games.
Mm.
So then her and I would play them together. So I have lots of really fond memories of PlayStation with my mum. Because she would actually, when I would go to bed, I didn't know this at the time, but she would be up...
Practicing
games. So she didn't have to... So I didn't feel like I was being held back by her.
Mm.
And so that's just all these really great memories have come from PlayStation.
I agree with that. You know, it's pretty well known that I'm a big Sega fan. And my story is pretty similar to yours, right? Where, you know, you're like small town, high school, not a lot of friends. And you sort of, you know, you sort of come home after school and get into a game for a while and play in the weekends and whatnot. And when I play certain games, I still get those same sort of feelings, right? It sort of sticks with you. And, yeah, and I've just always loved the way that Sega do their games as well. But, you know, ultimately, because we were saying before about how PlayStation sort of took into an adult direction, whereas Nintendo was very much really holding on to what they were doing before. And Sega's Saturn, that came in the 90s, which is my favorite, because, again, high school times. But their games were a lot more arcadey, rather than as in-depth as PlayStation's were. I ended up switching from Sega to Sony around about that time and got a PlayStation. But, you know, I think the PlayStation 2 is what switched me properly.
Yeah. I think PlayStation 2 was just... the catalogue on it was enormous. I think that was the crazy thing, is there are so many PlayStation 2 games.
Yeah, and I think because... It outsold the PlayStation 1 in the end, like, because the original Nintendo did about 100 million, I think, or the Wii did, but the PlayStation 2 is the closest, you know, as far as defining, you know, and I remember the hype around it when it came out as well, where it was legitimately, you know, sold out and, you know, everyone was covering it and it was a big deal in the mainstream too.
I think the other reason that I jumped to PlayStation and stuck with it so heavily is because I also came from an era where arcades were still a really big thing, as you would have as well. Nintendo still occasionally had that vibe of arcade gaming where the point was to make you spend more money. And so because of that, you'd play and like you felt like you were being punished sometimes by difficulty.
Well, and the other thing, though, is that in the 90s, before Sony had any real competitors, they were really hard on third-party developers, too. So very, very strict on the games they could make and the content in their games. Whereas, and Sega, not quite as much, but they made their Saturn too hard for people to program for. Whereas Sony basically opened the doors, gave them all toolkits, which is why I get the PlayStation 1 look of games, and backed a lot of these developers. And that's why we see, even through like the PlayStation 2, 3, and 4, you see either the games are going to be exclusives from third-party developers, or they're going to have extras for PlayStation. And I remember reading an interview with one of the guys from Rockstar in regards to Grand Theft Auto, and they were just saying that for them, they just remember when they were first starting the series, how supportive Sony actually were and how supportive they've been through the entire catalog.
See, I think I've heard that from a couple of other developers as well, that Sony has actually been... they're still a business, and I don't think anyone's denying
well,
that.
Well, and for the original PlayStation, they pretty much banned 2D games. They wanted everything to have polygons. Yes. But at the same time, that's different to Nintendo saying, well, you've got to buy 100,000 cartridges, etc., etc.
Yeah, like, and I think that was a big thing as well with Nintendo's... defiance to turn to disc gaming for so long was it made it very difficult on third parties.
Yeah, and they say that it's because, you know, we don't want our gamers to have loading times, but the reality of it is that they were making a bucket load of cash because you had to buy the cartridges that Nintendo makes.
Yeah.
So they were making money off the physical cartridges, of which you had to buy a set amount. You couldn't, you know, just buy as many as you wanted. You had to buy a minimum amount of cartridges. Who knew how much your game was going to sell and pay them up front for it? So Nintendo had already made their money before the game's even released.
Do you think there's a reason that both of us have headed towards Sony over Microsoft and the Xbox?
I don't know. For me, I think that, you know, because I guess Nintendo was always the mainstream, right? And Sega was the original competitor, like the underdog that ended up being more successful for a period, and then you have sort of Sony comes in after that. So I don't know, maybe it's just about taking the alternative, but it turns out that Sony's ended up being the mainstream.
Yeah, like I wonder if it's because that when I first jumped on, there was no Xbox, and so it was a matter of just continuing with what I know. I know that for me, whenever I'd pick up an Xbox controller, I get so lost because I'm like, no, no, X is here and Square is here. What's that button? And I think that becomes, unless you're someone who grew up kind of multi-console, it becomes a bit of a barrier to get into any other console. You go, I know that, I'll keep going with that.
Yeah, and I think it's like, because as you say, like you build, you know, your brand loyalty, I guess is how you call it, but there are legitimate reasons for doing so. And I guess for me, Xbox isn't as, I mean, when PlayStation came out, it was a legitimate change, right? It was a definite difference between that and Nintendo and even Sega to a point. Whereas Microsoft and its games, they, you know, you may as well just buy PlayStation 4 because they're not, you know what I mean? Like, if you've had the first three PlayStations and you know the games are good and you know you've built, grown up with a lot of the titles, Xbox isn't that much different that I would have that over it.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have it as well, perhaps, but I wouldn't just decide, oh, no, actually, my next console is going to be a Microsoft one, not a Sony one.
Yeah, and you're kind of stuck at that point where you're like, well, a Switch is really different, so I'll have a Switch and one of the others,
yeah,
but
exactly.
I won't get... Like, I know very few people who have both a PlayStation and an Xbox outside of, say, the Checkpoint team, because we review on both, and I'm soon to join that class as well, but, like, I've kind of said to myself, I'll probably only use the Xbox for, like, work stuff. I have no real interest to get into it as my primary gaming.
Yeah, it's kind of like going back to Sega and Nintendo in the 90s, and that the hardware is very similar. Both are probably slightly better than each other in certain things, but the result of that is that you're both sort of going for, well, you got your indie games, but also, like, you know, those big epic, like, AAA sort of titles. So it's kind of like, in that sense, you know, you've got, like, Gran Turismo on PlayStation, and then you've got Forza on Xbox, and they're sort of doing the same thing, but in their own way.
Yeah. All right, well, I think at the end of the day, another big thing is also that I play mainly PlayStation in this modern, like, co-op gaming world, because that's where all my friends are. It makes it a lot easier. But at the end of the day, I think that is something that directs a lot of people now. It's, what can I play with my friend?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess in that sense, because you're likely to be friends with people that enjoy the same things that you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, you know, everyone has their own specific one that they've stuck with. And I'm sure everyone has a reason why they love Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo more.
Yeah, well, people that are loving Nintendo would be really happy, I think, with how the Switch is turning up. Because
they've been
holding on for a while.
They went through a rough patch there. Yeah. It's good, really good for them right now. Well, thanks for having a chat with me today, Colby.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
And this has been Cameron, and you've been listening to Checkpoint Internet.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.